Hallelujah. Amen.
What you gonna do when the world catches on fire?
Yeah. Thank you.
That's a thought for you.
Amen.
What you gonna do when the world catch on fire? It's gonna be a little bit late for some to start running and screaming and hollering. Then, so what you gonna do?
Yes.
Wonderful song. Truly, thank you for letting God use you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's quite appropriate with where we are today.
Jesus.
I come this day standing before you, giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine, recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Riley, Brother McMillan, my lovely wife, and my beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always,
yes,
an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take now your servant hand, Lord. Lord, as I come to you as humble as I know how,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Submitting as much as I know how, Lord. Giving my all to you. I ask you right now, Lord, just to take and use this useless vessel.
Yes.
Take my thoughts, as feeble as they may be, Lord, and take the meditations of my heart, Lord, as unworthy as they may be, Lord, but take control, Lord. Take complete possession of me, Lord. And do with me what you wish. Guide me and direct me the way that you would have me to go,
yes,
Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Say what you would have me to say, to think what you would have me to think, Lord.
Yes, our God.
Hide me way behind your cross, Lord God. When someone looks at me, they only see you, Lord.
Yes,
Lord,
yes.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way.
Do with me what you wish.
Yes.
But speak a word through me, Lord. Because someone is standing in need of a word.
Oh, yes.
Someone is standing in need of a special touch, Lord,
yes,
that only you can give. Speak, Lord.
Speak, Father.
Have your way, Lord.
Yes.
Have your way.
Yes.
In this vessel. Yes. In this house.
Yes.
On this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. This morning, or this afternoon, we will be continuing. The subject we've been talking about is profiting from prophecy. And we will continue that. Let me read, and then I'll give you the subtopic after we read a bit. Hear the word coming from the 9th chapter of Daniel. And I want you to listen with the intent to hear. Listen with the intent to understand what God is trying to say to us. Daniel 9, start with verse 24. It reads thusly: 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring into everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And then, if you would just listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 possibly. New King James says it like this: therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Let me say it a different way. What you gonna do when the world catch on fire?
All right. Amen. All right. Amen.
Come on, man.
Wow.
Verse 12 says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat.
Come on now.
Make somebody think we got together.
Y'all playing.
See, God has a way of doing what God needs to do.
Yes, Lord. God is good.
Amen.
Yes,
he's an awesome God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
So,
this day we want to use as a subtopic to profiting from prophecy. The subtopic is attaching to eternity. Okay. Attaching to eternity. And I probably teach more than I preach, which is always a good thing. Because God has something that, we've been on this for a while, it's something that he's trying to say to somebody, if not all of us, certainly some of us in here, he's trying to speak to. Somebody needs to hear what he's trying to tell us. Attaching to eternity. 2 Peter 1:20 says that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation.
That's right.
I'll say that again. No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. You see, I read from Daniel, I read prophecy, and it probably was some confusing reading. I want you to go back and read it again. You heard a lot of reading. They're talking about the 70 weeks and different things, and the 62 weeks. And it's a lot in there that's it's hard to digest. But the Bible says no prophecy is a matter of one's own interpretation.
That's right.
So there's a right interpretation for everything that God says.
Yes.
And it's our job to discern that meaning. We must find out what it is that God is trying to tell us.
Oh, yes.
We're not to create our own interpretation that That's suits
right.
us.
All right.
All right.
Because
right.
Right. We'll do that.
Yes.
We'll make the Bible. We'll find 4 or 5 scriptures that say exactly what I want to say. But God's word is not for individual interpretation.
All right.
Come on now.
You see, God wants us to know his heart, and
yes,
he's given us his word to build on that. We're supposed to digest his word, that we will understand that who God is and what God says, and we are to become like him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 2 weeks ago, we used the subtopic of the war that we are in is fought from within. It's a battle going on. It's where we are. It's a battle going on. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody's going through something. Illness, a sickness, a loved one. Somebody is going through something. It's a battle that you're in. It seems like you finish one thing and there's something else. But
right now.
Lord, what? I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do, and I thought everything would work out like I thought it ought to work out, but you find yourself in a battle.
Yes.
What we're in is fought from within. It's a spiritual battle for your faith.
Yes.
See, it goes like this. You have to pray, first of all, to be sure of your faith.
Yes.
Because sometimes, if you look at it the right way, sometimes you can't convince yourself to believe certain things. You be trying as hard as you can, but you can't convince yourself to believe some things. So you got to check your faith to be sure, first of all, that you got faith.
All right. Yeah. All right, man.
And then in this battle that we're in, you have to, secondly, be sure that you keep it. Because if you're not careful, the devil has a way of just putting stuff in your face. And
right.
He likes to say, just like he did with Eve, did God say?
Yes, that's right. That's him.
Come on,
baby. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You've been praying for a long time, and has God come through?
Yeah, come on now.
So it's a spiritual battle that you got to win. You got to win, or you're going to be in trouble in the end, but you've got to win this spiritual battle that we're in. See, this battle we're in is not, it does not go to the swiftest, but it goes to he who endures.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got to endure.
I'm going to stay there for a minute. He who endures.
Yes.
The one that's not getting a whole lot of what we call answers and accolades, but going through some trials and some tribulation and some hard times, but the key is that you're going through some hard times and tribulations. You just keep right on going through. You just keep right on enduring, and each time you endure, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He who endures to the end. See, as we study prophecy, how we are supposed to profit from it. Because
Yes.
You know, a lot of times you read something, and you ever heard somebody read say, man, I ain't get nothing out of that. But you got to learn how to profit from prophecies. So as we go through this morning, I'm going to give you 4 points up front. So.
All right.
And that 4 points, if you got old notes, you probably got the same 4 points there. Mm-hmm. Each time you hear from the Lord, it's always different, though. Mm-hmm. The first thing you want to do is purpose in your heart.
Purpose in your heart.
See, it's my goal. I'm determined to see Jesus.
Determined.
I can't speak for nobody but me. But
determined to see him.
So purpose in your heart. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to please him. I want to see his face. But purpose in your heart. When you see, it says something about purposing in your heart. When you purpose in your heart, it becomes a part of you. I didn't say purpose. In your mind.
In your heart.
When you purpose in your mind, that's what we do on New Year's. We purpose in our mind.
You say so.
Here my New Year resolution. I purpose that in my mind, and that for those who are strong, it lasts to February. But when you purpose in your heart, so number one is purpose in your heart. And the number two is to pray for understanding. Mm-hmm. When you read something, when you hear a good word, pray for understanding. Pray that God will make it plain, and not just make it plain, because I'm going to point to my head a minute. Not just plain to my head, but plain to my heart, where it becomes a part of me.
Yes, yes.
So pray for that kind of understanding. And then number three, prepare.
Prepare
for the battle. Let me tell you something. If you listen to me this morning and God speaks and God gives you something this morning, if you're not careful, the devil will snatch it away from you before you get to dinner. He's going to jump all over you as soon as you get something.
Yes.
And if you don't get nothing this morning, then that's fine, because he won't bother. He'll leave you alone. He's not in concern with you. But if you get something that grows you a little bit, then he'll come around. So prepare for the battle. And then number four, just learn how to depend on God's promise of protection and perfection. See, if you can learn how to just depend on him, that whatever situation I find myself in, it's all right. It's all right if I can just lean and depend on God, knowing that God knows what I'm going through. God knows where I'm at.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Purpose in your heart. Let me just teach you from Daniel here for a minute. When you purpose in your heart, if you look over there in Daniel 10 and start with that 12th verse, it says, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. This is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel.
Yes.
He says, fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. If you can understand that when you purpose in your heart and you truly seek God and you start calling on God, he heard you.
Yes. Man.
He heard you from the time you purposed in your heart. God heard you. And he's constantly asking you, now do you trust me? I heard you. I know what it is that you need.
Right, yes.
Perhaps not what you asked for, but I know what you need. Do you trust me? Because God heard you if you called. From the first time that God heard Daniel's words, he dispatched an angel. See, we understood a couple of weeks ago that the angel didn't get there right away because the angel had to go through some things to get to Daniel. So it may take a while, but God heard your call from day one. It may take a year, it might take 2 years, but God dispatched
an
angel.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
God, the way that he comforts us when we depend on him, when we say we'll call on the Lord, he sends the comforter right away. He said, all you got to do now is rest, and I'll take care of the rest.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Purpose in your heart. See, Daniel 9:4 says it like this. He says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Listen to his confession here. He says, oh Lord, you are a great and awesome God.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all heard me. See, because I want you to understand that. See, this is a confession. When we say confession, we like to think of admitting some type of guilt, or we don't understand confession. But what Daniel is saying is, I'm confessing, Lord, that you are a great and awesome God. And the only way you can confess that God is an awesome God is that you got God on the inside.
Come on.
Better hear me. Because you can profess it. Uh-huh. It's easy to profess. Uh-huh. It's easy to talk about what you got. But when you confess, it says that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Something on the inside. Yes. And because it's on the inside, it's flowing to the outside. And I can't contain it.
Hallelujah.
Confess that he's a great and awesome God, and you always fulfill your covenant, and you always keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. Purpose in your heart and reach a comfort level with your God that I'm walking with him, he in me and I in him.
Yes.
Purpose in your heart.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Confess it.
Confess it.
Don't profess it. Confess it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Now, when we look at Daniel 9, when Daniel has understood something, Daniel started to understand where God, what God had said, he understood where God was, where he was in relationship to what God said. And this is what we've got to do this morning, is to try to understand that this battlefield we're on, where are we position in relationship to what God said. He said something to Daniel way back then, but how does it apply to us, and where do we fit? Listen to me a minute. See, the prophecy says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. We ain't there. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, that could have been Jesus Christ. What you think? It's reconciliation for iniquity, something that says, okay, I have done wrong, but somebody covered me in the blood.
Thank you. Thank you.
And to bring in everlasting righteousness. We ain't there.
Everlasting.
And to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Let me just teach you for a minute. I'm gonna go on. You see, he said, Don, he said, know therefore and understand that going forth with the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
And 62 weeks.
Alright.
That's 69 weeks, which we call years. Let me just do the math for you. It comes out to 483 years is what most accept. It's 483 years. So the 69 weeks have passed. And most agree that right now we're between the 69th and the 70th week. But nothing is going on. Now they did the first 69 weeks and pause. Where things are in a wait stage right now. And let me back up on that.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm not sure how far into the week we may be. But we do know that 69 weeks are past. And 1 week either remains or we're part of that week.
All right, then.
Read your Bible.
Yes, sir. That's the Holy Ghost.
And he goes on, he says, and after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week.
All right, then.
And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Let me go someplace else for you, because I'm trying to teach here. If you look over in Romans, and we may have talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago, but when we talked about the Jews and that we all know that the Jews are God's special people, and we know how he has, some of them have fallen off, and he's sown us into the body. He brought us into this planet.
Yes.
Here's Romans 11:25 says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Let's see if I can explain that to you. He's saying that it's going to be an open period there somewhere for where we can become a part of the body of Christ. We can be grafted in. But we know it's going to happen, but we don't know when and when it's going to end. But we can be grafted in. But at a certain time, the grafting is going to stop. And he's going to start going back to his people and bringing them back in. Understand the word of God.
Yes, yes.
We don't know when, but we do know for certainty that God is coming again. So here's what we are dealing with. Where on this battlefield am I? Go back to Peter. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? That's Peter 3:11. where are we on this battlefield? Where do we fit? We don't know where we are.
Come on now.
But we do know for a certainty.
Yes.
That God is coming again. How do I know it's a certainty? It's because God's word has been fulfilled. You can look at it and see that God's word is fulfilled. He's got 69 weeks, which you can go here and find record of.
Yes.
Hear the prophecy. Isaiah said, when you start to claim different gods, Isaiah said, ask your God what has happened that he can show me record of where he predicted it back then and that it has happened here. And if he's truly God, he ought to be able to show me, because God is eternal. God knows from the beginning to the end. So I know that I've got the right God, because for 69 weeks have been perfect to the record. Hallelujah. And the seventh week, wherever we may be, we don't know when, but we do know it's a certainty. We just need to know how we ought to be.
Yes.
What manner of conduct we should be of. Hallelujah. I'm teaching now. Hallelujah. As God teaches me. Where are we on the battlefield? You need to know. Let me give you an example of knowing where your position. Some have probably watched a basketball game or even a football game that you see somebody that they lose where they are on the field. And
yes.
If you lose where you are on the field, you don't know where your next move is going to be, because you don't know how far I am from the sideline or from the free throw. I don't know where I am, so you need to know where I am on the battlefield.
You need to know.
Hallelujah. Purposed in my heart. So what God says will come to pass. You see, too often our interest in prophetic scriptures is of a curious and speculative nature. People like to read the book of Daniel and Revelation. They like to read those books. It's like looking at a good story. Empire. Haves and the have-nots. I want to call another name, but but what God says in his book is true. And he says, this is for you to learn, to know. You're not to know when it's going to happen. You are just to know that it will happen because God said it.
Yes. That's it. He said it.
Hallelujah. Let me move closer. I'm going to pick this up. This has got about three or four more parts to it.
It's all right.
Take your time.
But see, when we look at prophetic scripture, what we try to do is see, how does this fit into us right now? Let me just try to get to a point here that we can stop for the day. See, we fail to see how it all ties together. But when we start to understand what God has already said, if you look at back to Daniel, we've gone through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said they, in the fiery furnace, they were there with the Son of God. And you start to see that God is eternal. And what I promised you this morning, trying to get to, is that God is eternal. So what I told you this morning, we would attach to eternity. So when you become a part of the body of Christ, you are attaching to eternity. Just see if I can make you understand that. We won't be here long. I'm going to stop. You'll hear this again next time around. When we become a part of the body of Christ, we attach to eternity. Because Jesus was there, the Son of God was back when Daniel was prophesying. They were already there in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he was already there. So it's something eternal about Jesus. There's something eternal about God. So when you let Jesus in you and you become a part of him, then you attach to eternity. Hold on to that mystery. We'll go deep into that. But when you attach to eternity, when you're attached to eternity, all of a sudden you find that things are not as tough as they used to be. You find that you can go through some things that you couldn't go through before. You find that you know some things that you didn't know before, but you have now attached to eternity. You stop worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow because God's got tomorrow. When you attach to eternity, and it's so easy to attach to eternity. That's what we're going to do this morning when we go. And you don't have to come to this table to attach to eternity. Somebody asked the question this morning, who baptized John the Baptist? God did. God baptized him when he was still in the womb. And I'll say to you right now, who baptized any of you that truly baptized? God did. All right. I didn't ask you who dipped you in the water and brought you up. I asked you who baptized you. If you've not been baptized with the Holy Ghost. When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, then you have truly been baptized. Attaching to eternity. Some this morning will take communion. You will partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But if I took one of these cups out, all you will see here is a cracker and grape juice.
That's right.
And as far as you're talking about eating and drinking, all you're going to eat and drink physically is a cracker and grape juice.
All right.
Now, it depends on what you get out of it. Depends on where you let God take you.
Yes.
If you need a healing, God's got it. If you need God to touch one of your children, God's got it. So when I take this symbolism here, when I take it and I say, I'm eating the body of Christ and I'm drinking his blood, what I'm saying is I'm giving myself to the Lord. Not in my head. It's not in my head. I can say that every Sunday and it gets me nowhere. But when I purpose it in my heart. I'm going to give you time when we take communion this morning. I'm going to give you time to ponder that. What is it that you want from the Lord? What is it that you want from the Lord? What is it that you want from the Lord? I'm going to stop right there. We're going to continue this teaching for I don't know how long, but I'm going to stop right there. And when we do communion, I'm going to give you that opportunity to ask the Lord what it is that you want and to submit and humble yourself to him that he may hear your cry. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, our Father. He who knows all and sees all. Oh Lord, we ask right now for you just to, first of all, take control of my mind and my heart, Lord God, and Show me the way that you would have this teaching to go, Lord. Lord, guide me as I will submit, as I will humble myself to you, Lord. Guide me, Lord, that I will make no interpretations of my own, Lord God, but only speak your word that we can all gain from it, Lord. That we can all discern what it is that the mystery that you hid in the Bible, Lord God, that we can discern it for ourselves. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord, as we submit. I said, have your way as we submit and humble ourselves. Lord, we give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you, mind, body, and soul. God, lead and direct us. Set somebody free from burdens and worry. Set us free, Lord God, as we learn to depend on you. Oh Lord, we thank you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.